If you'd like to, you can open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 will be examining, in particular, one of the verses within that chapter. We are grateful for all who are here. We do have some visitors with us. We're glad that you have set the priority to come and worship God this evening. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about someone very positive. Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord. And we looked at the context there in the book of Numbers of the different ways that he was described, the commitment, the full commitment that he had as a way to encourage us. I enjoy character studies, people from the biblical text who really illustrate for us lessons that we are to learn. Tonight, I'd like to look at someone not quite so positive, Demas. Demas is an individual that is described here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And actually, I'd like to start reading in verse 9. Because Paul, in his last letter, says, "Be diligent," speaking to Timothy, "be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." Paul needed someone there with him. And he was encouraging Timothy to come, and to come quickly before his death. For, what is it like when we are striving to serve the Lord and we have a group of brethren striving to serve the Lord with us, and for one reason or another, one of our brethren goes back to the world because they love it. They depart from us. Not only is it hurting them, but it's hurting us as well. It's a frustration to us. It makes it more difficult for us to continue on. And so the Apostle Paul needed some encouragement from Timothy because Demas had left. I'd like to focus in on Demas here in our lesson this evening. In this particular verse here, 10, to see if we might get some insight into why he left and what implication that might have for him and for the Apostle Paul as well. First, I think it's important for us to note that he didn't start off this way, departing from the Lord. He is described as a faithful worker with the Apostle Paul. If you would, jump over to the book of Philemon, where Paul mentions him. He's mentioned here in Philemon. He's also mentioned in the book of Colossians in chapter 4, written at the same time, where he's listing several people in 23, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. So Demas is someone who is with the Apostle Paul, a companion of the Apostle Paul. We don't know exactly when he's converted or what the story is behind, but he's with the Apostle Paul when Paul was in prison, when he was standing up for what's right, when he was preaching and teaching to the Praetorian Guard. Demas was an individual who was standing there with the Apostle Paul, and he sent his greetings there to the church at Colossae, where Philemon was. And certainly, Paul was a man of commitment because he is let go from prison and he continues to teach and preach, and then he is put back in prison. The time difference is from about 62, which he writes Philemon, where Demas is faithful, to about 67. In that four-year period of time when Paul is put back in prison, something happens to Demas. Nothing happens to Paul because Paul says in his commitment, chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent and come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me." So something happened in that interim there where Demas stopped being a faithful servant of God. And it would be one thing, as Paul mentions, there are some others who left. They had some business to attend to. They had perhaps some family something that had to be done. And they had to leave the Apostle Paul. But there's something he gives more detail about Demas, because he wasn't just He wasn't just leaving him. He says, he has forsaken me. He's departed from me. There's an idea in this word of desertion. And the Apostle Paul apparently felt it, and felt it very personally. No longer was this man standing by his side. No longer was this man standing up for the faith as the Apostle Paul was. Now this man had given himself up once again to the world. How does this happen? Well, we have some clues from the text. What was the allurement? What was it that brought Demas away from the Lord? He identifies it as the present world. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the world. I love the world at this time of year. The springtime, you have the flowers that are blooming. You have the grass that is now green once again. It's a beautiful time to love. I love the people of the world. It's enjoyable most of the time to be around the people of the world, to enjoy the friendships, companionships that we can have. But I don't think that's what Paul has reference here to when he's talking about this present world. In the book of 1 John, in the second chapter, I think John gives us some more detail about what makes up the world that Paul had reference to here and why we don't need to love it. He says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." He sets them at odds with each other. So I don't think he's talking about the beautiful flowers. I don't think he's talking about the grass. I don't think he's talking about the birds. I don't think he's talking about people and the companionships you can have, because he specifies here what he's talking about in verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." All of us are made up of a spirit that is made in the image of God and a flesh that is made up of desires and passions. And we have a choice whether we are going to love God and the things of God, the spiritual things, the more important things, the moral things, the eternal things, or whether we're going to love the things that are here on this earth, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and our egos, the pride, the pride of life. And those are the things that John tells us that we have to make a choice of what we are going to serve. And the fact is, we must face the fact that even after we become Christians, we have to make choices on a regular basis of what we are going to serve. Are we going to follow after the flesh? Are we going to follow after the world? Now, Paul delineates what some of the things we're going to be involved with if we follow after the flesh in the book of Galatians. In the fifth chapter, he lists some of the things that people are going to be involved with if they follow the passions of their flesh. He says in chapter 5 and verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." All of these sins that he lists here are all part of the world. They're all an extension of fleshly desires that we have, but they're illegitimate extensions of the fleshly desires that we have. And if our focus is on this present world, as opposed to what's more important, the eternal relationship we have with God, we're going to find ourselves involved with those, because the fact is, there is enjoyment in fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. So Demas, he's unfortunately going to be with the demons if he continued to live that way. But Demas was a faithful Christian, and yet he had the allure of the present world. Paul is talking to the Galatians here in Galatians chapter 5, and they had the allure of the present age. John, as he wrote to Christians, they had the allure to this present world that they needed to be warned about. I think we have to ask ourselves, how strong is our desire for the world that is to come? How strong is our desire to be with the Lord for all eternity? Because is it true that every man has his price? You know, Jesus says, what shall a man be profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Is there a price for every man and woman? Is there something in the world that a man is willing to give up his eternity with the Lord in order to enjoy that instant gratification of the flesh? I hope that that's not true. But unfortunately, sometimes people sell their souls for a very cheap price, and a price that doesn't last very long at all. Demas was allured by this present world. But it was more than just the present world being there, because we all have that. But it says that he made a choice, having loved this present world. Notice there's an interesting contrast here. If we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is talking about his own commitment and the fact that he was going to die, having fought the good fight and having finished the race and having kept the faith in chapter 4 and verse 7. But he says in verse 8, finally there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. All who have loved the appearing of Jesus Christ. The appearing of Jesus Christ when he came to the earth and lived as a man and died on the cross for our sins and delivered us the truth to live by. And maybe he has reference to the appearing that will come in the future when Jesus stands as judge, as he talks about him here. But in either case, is loving Jesus. But what happened to Demas? Come diligently, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He had set the priority on this world rather than Jesus Christ. You see, we have to make a choice. We have to choose either Jesus or this world. There really is no in between. And unfortunately, Demas, sometime in between Philemon verse 24, 62 AD, and 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, about 67 AD, at some time in that period, Demas said, I would rather enjoy the pleasures of this world for a season than eternity with Jesus Christ. I would rather love this world than to love his appearing. How many times did he have to make that choice to love God or love this world? Well, we all know that we have to make the choice many times. And in fact, it becomes very practical. You know, Demas had left this world, and I'm sure when he was in the world, he was lonely and feeling guilty and feeling purposeless and needing some guidance. But he came to Jesus Christ because in Christ there was joy, there was forgiveness, there was purpose in life, there was direction, there was hope of eternal life. But he abandoned those for the things of this world once again. And was Demas really thinking about where that was going to take him? Thinking about what it would mean to go back to the world? Thinking about the guilt that he would feel again and the restlessness that he would feel again and all that he was going to have to suffer as a non-Christian? Why would he make that choice? Well, think about where he was. He was with the Apostle Paul when he was in prison in 62 AD. And what did Christianity look like at that point in time? Well, there was not a lot of money there while Paul is in prison. There is a lot of self-sacrifice there. Paul is writing these letters. He's trying to teach others. He is thinking about others' interests rather than his own. There's not a lot there as far as pleasure in this world at that moment in time. And because of that, Demas said, I love this world more than I love my Lord. Now, Jesus asks us to make choices as well. Titus, the second chapter. In Titus, the second chapter, we find Paul writing to an evangelist and describing the grace of God when he says in verse 11, Titus 2 and verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us." So obviously that's Jesus who has appeared. He is the grace of God. And he teaches us something. He teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. God teaches us to say no to certain things and yes to certain things. Well, we are living in a very affluent society, in a society that is very focused on this present world, that is very busy, constantly busy with the things of this present world, constantly occupied in our mind with the things of this world. And it's very difficult for us to constantly choose the Lord. We are constantly having to make the choice, do I love the Lord or do I love this world more? Demas, unfortunately, chose the world. And therefore, there was an action that took place. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. The fact is, whenever we love something, that love is going to drive us to action. When we love the Lord, it is going to drive us to action, to obey the Lord. When we love this present world, it is going to drive us to action, to fulfill the lust of the flesh, which is drawn to the world, and unfortunately draw away from Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes people leave the Lord because they drift away. The Hebrew writer talks about that in chapter 2. Sometimes people leave the Lord because they have no depth. Jesus talks about that in the parable of the soils, that soil it's the rocky soil. It doesn't have a lot of depth to it. But some people leave it willfully. They know what Jesus Christ is all about. They know what the world is all about. And they just make a choice to abandon the Lord, to forsake that, and to go back into the world. And such was Demas. In this same passage here in Titus chapter 2, notice again, as we read through verses 11 through 13, the emphasis that is put upon the actions that we must, the choices that we must make for the Lord. He says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Jesus is looking for a people who are zealous of good works. He's looking for a people who demonstrate their love in every action, in every word, in every decision that they make. This is really nothing new. If you go back to the very beginning, in the book of Genesis in the third chapter, what was the dilemma that was faced by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? God had told them, you can live in this garden, you can enjoy the garden and fellowship with me, but you cannot eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. The devil comes and says, you got to make a choice. Are you going to stay here in this garden, or are you going to eat the fruit of this tree? And what was it that drove Eve and Adam to eat of this tree? Well, the text points to, in verse 6, part of the answer at least, when it says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate." The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It was there in the Garden of Eden when they were innocent. They had to make a choice. Who do I love? Do I love the Lord, or do I love this world? Am I going to follow my spirit, or am I going to follow the flesh? They made the wrong choice. They sinned against God. In the book of James, in the first chapter, James teaches us as well about exactly the same thing. Now, in some ways, we have it more difficult than Adam and Eve in that there is sin all around us, bad examples and influence of sin all around us. But we have the same spirit and the same flesh, and we have the same choices to make. And James tells us in chapter 1, verse 14, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires, there's the flesh, and enticed, there's the allurement there of the world. Then when desire has conceived, there's the action, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. James, in this breaking down of our temptations, helps us and wants us to understand that just like Demas, we all have choices to make. What we love in our hearts is going to be manifested in the way that we live our lives. And that's why it is essential for us not simply to change a few actions of our lives, but to change our hearts and our affections. What is it that I am consumed about? What is it that my mind is always thinking about? What is it that I am most passionate about? What is it that is the most important thing in my life? If God is not the most important thing in my life, it will be manifested in me giving in to the flesh. But if God is the main, the most important, the passion of my life, then it is going to be manifested in me living a life that is righteous. And if I ever make any mistakes, then I'm going to plead with the Lord for forgiveness, because that's the most important thing for me. If we love this present world, what will it be seen? What type of actions might we get involved with? Let me just read through a short list here. One, taking drugs. Two, chasing a woman that we're not married to. Three, compromising my beliefs for my family or my friends. Number four, forsaking the assembly for work or for play. Number five, just too busy with life than to have time for the Lord. Number six, maybe just tired of all the hassles of trying to live right. Where did I get that list? Well, actually, I went back in our records of the members that had been withdrawn from, and I looked at why. What was it that they loved the world so much for? What was it that they wanted to do so much that they abandoned the Lord? And that's what it was. What specifically was it in Demas' case? What was he looking for? Notice in the text here it says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed for Thessalonica. What was it in Thessalonica? Now, archaeologists actually have done some digs and have found the ancient city of Thessalonica. Now, if you went to Thessalonica, and this is actually a modern picture here, if you're approaching it from the sea, it's a beautiful city. It's up on a mountain, and it would be a beautiful place. I'm sure that there would be a great allurement there. What was it that was in Thessalonica that Demas loved so much that he was willing to forsake the Lord? We don't know the answer to that question, but there are two interesting things that archaeologists have uncovered. One thing is they have uncovered some lists of some of the rulers, some of the political leaders of Thessalonica. And Demas is one of those leaders. Now, we don't know if it's the same Demas or not, but let's just say for a moment it was. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe Demas said, listen, this Christianity isn't getting me enough power, not getting me enough money. I don't have enough influence here. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go to Thessalonica because I can be somebody great. I can be a political leader there. Maybe that's what it was. There's another interesting, in one of the manuscripts of a copy of the Bible, one of the copyists wrote in the margin why he left for Thessalonica. So I don't know if it has any validity or not, but the one who wrote in the margin said he became a priest of one of the pagan temples there in Thessalonica. Maybe that was it. Maybe he said, look at what Christianity's getting me. I'm here with the great one of Christianity, and he's in prison. Not getting a whole lot of money here. Don't have a lot of influence here. I'm having to teach this gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to go back to something where perhaps paganism appealed to him. And he says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to be a priest. I'm going to be a preacher in the pagan temple. Maybe that's what it was. But here's the question. I'd say either one of those was right, or maybe it was something else. I'm not sure how long Demas lived after he left Paul, after he left the Lord, and went back to Thessalonica. Let's just say he lived 30 years. Well, let's say 40. Let's say he lived another 60 years. I don't know how old he was when he left, but let's just say another 60 years. Could you imagine being able to enjoy the pleasures of this world for 60 years? What a great, wonderful life that must have been. You know, he's been dead for about 1900. And you know where he's been? He's been in torments for 1900 years. If he didn't repent, maybe he repented, but if he didn't repent, he's been in torments. And where's he going to be after the judgment day? He's going to be in hell. So if we could call up Demas, and maybe that's why I've been calling him demon, I don't know. But if we could call up Demas and ask him, was it worth it? How'd your love life go there in Thessalonica? You know, you loved the world, you fell in love, and you left the Lord for the world. How'd that go for you? How is it going for you? I feel sure that he would be like the rich man who would say, please go back and tell my brothers, don't come to this place. Don't love the world. Don't forsake the Lord. It's not worth it. You don't want to come to this place. We have the positive examples of Caleb, who fully followed the Lord, and we have this negative one of Demas, who forsook the Lord. And both of them are telling us the same thing. Serving the Lord is the best life now and the best life for eternity. If you're not a Christian in the audience, we would encourage you to think very seriously about your own love and your own eternity. Believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess His name, be baptized so that you can be forgiven of sins, to begin a life of loving His appearing. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to become one tonight. If you are a Christian and, like Demas, have gone back into the world, come back now while you still have time. Won't you come while we stand in time?